Baruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Chayei Sarah. Wonderful to be able to learn together, hopefully get inspiration from the Parsha, and bring added Kedusha to our Shabbos Kodesh. Shir is said, L'zecher Nishmas, U'le'ile Nishmas, your dear parents, Rebecca, Bas, Serena, and Leon ben Rachel. May their Neshama Torahs have a lichtig Gan Eden, as just a few days ago was your mother's Yahrzeit. This year is also sponsored this week by Eddie and Zelda Zemel, Yashar Koach. We're so appreciative for your sponsorship. Firstly, Lezecha Nishmas Ula'ila Nishmas Zelda's sister, Bela Deutsch. Bela Basrab David, whose 21st Yahrzeit will be on the 29th of Cheshvan. The Ezra's Hashem. Her neshama tahira Bela Basra David Zolhabin a lichtige Gan Eden. It's also being sponsored by the Zemel Mishpacha as a schus for refuahs and yeshuahs for all the chaylim in Klal Yisroel. In the beginning of the parasha, we find the well-known conversation between Ephron and Avram Avinu back and forth, and then finally a deal is sealed, and the pasuk tells us Chof Gimel Tezayin that after hearing Arba Mea Shekel Kesef that the price will be the 400 silver shekel, the pasuk says that Avram heard and listened to Ephraim. He weighed out the amount, the price that was negotiated in the proper currency. Did you notice that throughout this parsha it says the name Ephraim with a vav? Ayin fei resh vav nun. Unusually here, the vav is missing. It says Vayishchol Avram le'Ephron es hakesef when he actually paid the money and handed him the price that was agreed upon. If you're looking inside, you'll find in Parakav Gimel Pasuk says Zayin. Ephron is spelled chaser, lacking the vav. Why is that? I saw a beautiful pshat brought down from Reb Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal. And I think there's an incredible lesson for each and every one of us as we begin Parsha Insights. The Torah, by making his name Chosar and leaving out the Vav, was showing that his name became diminished. Why? Well, he originally, when he spoke to Avram Avinu, he spoke and indicated that I'm going to give you the Makom Kvurim Arsa Machpelah, the grave site, as a gift. But at the end, after all of the grandiose speech, that was simply rhetoric. As a lawyer, you could certainly appreciate this exchange. And eventually, he charged Avram Avinu what was considered then quite a hefty sum of Arba Mea Shekel Kesef. So yeah, he gained money, but he lost his reputation. Because he originally said one thing, and then did something dramatically and drastically different. So to show that his stature was diminished, the Vav is taken out of his name, and it's Ephraim in a lacking sense. But you have to wonder, why would that bother him? It bothers him that the Vav is not in his name at this point. He cared about the Torah. He cares about his name, how his name is spelled. And why is it that it's specifically omitting the letter Vav? What's the lesson in it for us? Merav Harabaisai, open up your hearts to this incredible pshat. The word Ephraim, obviously, if you look at the root letters, the I and the Fe and the Resh, it's from the word Ophar. Ophar means dust. Ophar is dirt. We're all created from Ophar. As we know, we say in the Davening, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, right after the Nesana Tzaykev, Adam Yesoidai Me Ophar. Our essence, our Yesoid, we are derived and formed from Ophar. That's really the source of every one of us. Now keep in mind, I'll interject for a moment, the pshat that we say often from the Sfasemas. The Halakha Sfasemas of Chusi Yagan Aleinu points out that in that tefillah that I just mentioned by Ein Kitzva, it says, Adam Yisoidei Me Ophar, V'Soifei La Ophar. You are formed and begin as dust, and your end is dust, because that's where a person after 120 years ends up. Now generally when we say those words, those poignant and heartfelt words, We get very emotional. Many of us cry when we say those words. Adam yesaydei me'afar v'soifai la'afar. And the Sasemis wonders, why is it that a person at that point is so emotional and finds themselves crying? If you explain that a person had something, whatever the original thing might have been, and maybe that thing was damaged, but here, yesaydei me'afar v'soifai la'afar. I came formed from afar, and that's why I return. Why is that a place or a reason, says the Sasemis, to cry? And he answers what we're going to use now in this fabulous word in the beginning of the parsha to explain. Afar is dirt and dust. You can take dirt and dust and build extraordinary, extraordinary items. You could form them. You could create. You could make fabulous creations from afar. And that's the way it is with our neshama. Adam yesoide me'afar. V'soifai la'afar? And at the end, you return it similar to the Chasam Sofer you bring down in your Sefer and the famous parable, the mice that we always bring down. You have afar from which to build. V'soifai la'afar, and the end product is the same afar. You did nothing meaningful. You did nothing extraordinary. You came as afar and you're leaving as afar and you did nothing with it in between. Oy vavoy vavoy, that's half a reason to get emotional and to cry. You have afar. Do something. Build. Create. Make some beautiful, extraordinary impact. Make a gewaldika positive mapecha. But you say they may offer the seifoy la offer. You did nothing with that which you had. You blew it. What an incredible, incredible loss. And that's why, says the Sfasemetz, it's taku appropriate to be emotional and cry by those words. If seifoy la offer, nothing meaningful was done with the offer. Now we return to the pshat of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Ephraim etymologically comes from the word offer. And as we just said so clearly, when it comes to offer, that's a golden opportunity. A golden opportunity to achieve greatness, dare I say, to elevate yourself and to purchase, oh, I know what it's called, eternity. He had a chance over here. Once-in-a-lifetime moment, should I say unprecedented. He could have had that eternal reward waiting for him. He said that he was going to give it as a gift, or at least for a small price. He had a chance to be a part of Maras HaMechpela, and he had the common sense to give it either as a gift or as a fair price. Chazal tell us he and his descendants would have had a schus and a privilege, an eternal privilege, in Maras HaMechpela, where Avos and Imos are, and you blew it. Yesaydei me'afar v'soifai la'afar. You could have turned the offer from your name Ephraim into a golden opportunity to give it to Avram Avinu for the eternal resting place, Maras HaMechpela for the Avos and Imos, and you didn't. So the Vav is taken out of his name to show Chasa. That uniqueness is gone. It underscores that his name is indeed missing something. And the reason why it's specifically the Vav is generally a letter that represents the uniqueness of a person. The Vav is also like the, in the Mishkan, the Vav and the connector, the connection, the chibur. You could have had a connection and a chibur, an eternal Vav, an eternal connection with Maras HaMechpela, and you didn't. That Vav, that eternal connection and chibur, is taken out of his name to indicate that he allowed his love for money to blind him. It obscured the ability to think clearly, and it ended up creating irreparable damage, for he sacrificed that golden opportunity. And now Taka, he was nothing more than offer, dirt. Yesaydei me'afar, v'soifai la'afar. And obviously the message for us, Rabbi Yisai, every one of us are given those moments those golden opportunities, those gifts that we should utilize to change our life, that of our family for eternity. So, Nu, do you grab them, or do they become lost and wasted opportunities forever? Are you Ephron with the Vav, or Ephron without the Vav? Often we say over, based on the aside of Reb Tzadai, that the Gemara and the Chazal famously tell us, Yesh kaina elamu b'sha'achas. To Pshat, we've said countless times, you could acquire your entire world b'sha'achas in one moment. The yesod of Reb Tzadik is that you could also translate a word based on the way it's used the very first time in the Chumash. Where is the word sha'a used the very, very first time? Regarding the karbonis of Kayin and Hevel, the Pasuk says that to the karbon of Kayin, vel Kayin vel menchosei loy sha'a, Hashem didn't turn. So a sha'a, translated the first time in Tanakh, is a turn. And that's what the Chazal are teaching us. Yesh kaina olamai b'sha'achas. You could acquire eternity b'sha'achas, with just one turn. So are you going to be Ephron without the Vav, or Ephron with the Vav? Because Ephron with the Vav, the chibur that connects with eternity, utilizes golden opportunities. Sha'achas, it takes one turn. Before we go on to a later part of the parsha, that of Yitzchak davening, or should I say establishing Tzilas Mincha, a number of years ago I shared a pshat with you regarding marriage and by extension, pretty much any relationship. And this week, somebody must have remembered the pshat, and they were inspired by it. So in honor of the fact that a person reminded me of the pshat, just for a few quick moments, I want to share it with you before we move on to the end of Perek of Dalet. We're talking about Ephraim and his selling of Maris HaMachpelah. The Gemara in Kiddushin famously tells us that we learn Kiddushin, we learn this first part of marriage from the sale of Maris HaMachpelah from Ephron to Avraham Avinu, because it says the word Vayikach here by the sale, and regarding a man taking a woman in Kiddushin, it says Vayikach. We make a Gezeres HaKosav, a Gezeres Shava, Vayikach, Vayikach. It says, Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Ephron. It says the word Vayikach here. It says the word over there, thereby teaching us a great amount or part of marriage from the sale. Now, one should wonder, if I would ask you in a class on Shalom Bayis, on creating a beautiful and thriving marriage, who you want to learn that art from, I don't think Ephron would make it anywhere near the top of the list. And yet the Gemara tells us, you learn out Kiddushin from the sale of Ephraim with Maris HaMachpelah. Why him? Why this sale? So years ago we had said a beautiful pshat, it's one of the finest. If you take a look at this sale that took place of Maris HaMachpelah from Ephron to Avraham Avinu, and he charged the amount of Arba Mea Shekel Kesef, what was each one of the participants thinking as they were involved in the sale? Ephron was thinking, I got the most amazing deal. This was extraordinary. Maris HaMachpelah has bought a piece of land, and looking at the piece of land that it is, I could get such an exorbitant sum. I could get for this a steal of a deal. I could get Arba Meir Shekel Kesef for Maris HaMachpelah. I'm like the luckiest person in the world that I could get this amount for that. What was Avraham Avinu on the other end thinking? I can purchase the eternal resting place of the Avos and Imos for only 400 silver pieces? I can get such a golden, eternal opportunity a makom kruras kadosh as maros hamakpela for the avos and imayis for only arba meir shekel kesef. Wow, that's mamish the greatest deal in the world. In other words, each one from their own perspective felt they were truly and sincerely getting the best deal in the world. And that's what the Gemara and Kedushin is teaching us. We learn marriage. We learn Kedushin from this sale of Maris HaMachpel involving Ephraim. For each one of the participants, both of the parties felt that their mamish, sincerely, truly getting the best. Each one felt that way. And that's the way it should feel between a husband and a wife. In a marriage, certainly to bring about greater levels of shalom bayis. And I think by extension, that's true in a business relationship. Between any two chaverim, between any two yedidim, and any meaningful relationship, that each one should feel like this sale of Maris HaMachpelah from Ephron to Avram. Each one, the key word, as we said already twice, truly, genuinely and sincerely feel, wow, I'm mamish the luckiest person in the world. That's the way we should be zeicha to feel in our shalom bayis, and to be zeicha to feel with every member that we have in our life. Let's take a look a little bit later on towards the very end of Perek Chav Daled. I want to share with you something absolutely beautiful. This is, of course, where Yitzchak, the Pasuk tells us, again, if you're looking inside, Chof Dalid Samach Gimel. Vayetze Yitzchak L'suach Basada. Yitzchak went out L'suach Basada to supplicate in the field. We actually learn from Rashi to Davin, and this was Tfilas Mincha. I'd like to share with you from now to the end of the shir two beautiful, beautiful pshatim on these words, Vayetze Yitzchak L'suach Basada. As I said, the pasuk literally means that Yitzchak went to supplicate in the field, and Rashi teaches us that the supplication was tefillah, he davened. This was Tfilas Mincha. Chazal point out and praise the exemplary power of Yitzchak's tefillah. We know Avram established the tefillah of Shachris, Yitzchak established the tefillah of Mincha, and Yaakov Avinu established the Tfilah of Ma'ariv, and specifically Chazal speak about the exemplary power of Yitzchak's Tfilas Mincha. For if you take a look in these Psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately responded favorably to this plea of Yitzchak. It was a Tfilah that was answered by the Ribbono Shel immediately, and that leads us to wonder why. What is it about Tfilas Mincha that has such extraordinary power? Of course, that's true about all of the Tfilas, but seemingly here we see in the Parsha, because his Tfilah was answered so immediately by the Ribbono Shel, obviously there's some unique and special kayach to Tfilas Mincha. What is it? I saw actually a beautiful pshat brought down in the Sefer Pnina Malatayra. I'll mention it very quickly, but then I'll tell you my understanding what the answer might be. In Pnina Malatayra, he explains, Shachris represents the morning of your life. Morning as in M-O-R-N. The morning of your life when the sun is shining so beautifully. Everything is going my way. Well, when you're experiencing the Shachris of your life, so to speak, it's not that difficult to pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything is rosy. Everything seems to be so wonderful. So perhaps it's an easier time to turn and daven to Hashem. Similarly, when it's Maariv, Maariv represents the darkness, the deep times that one has to pour their heart out because things seem so incredibly funereal. When the life is so bleak and the circumstances are pressing down around you so hard, there as well we know to turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Pnina Malatayra says, but mincha of our life, when it's not shachris of our life, nor is it metaphorically ma'ariv of our life, but it's the mincha moments of our life. In other words, the sun is still shining, but it's beginning to dim. Life seems to be fine, but I understand that there are stormy clouds on the horizon. So it's not here nor there. That's when Pnina Mala Torah says to turn and put your trust in Hashem and to offer tefillah's praise for the past and to daven for the future. That's tefillah's mincha. It's that what you call the mincha of your life. And there are many moments when we experience the quote-unquote mincha of our life. Can you turn to Hashem in the mincha moments of your life? I know you could by the shachris moments and the ma'ariv moments, but how about those mincha moments? I'm sure, but I'm not so sure. Things are rosy, but maybe they're not. I'm confused, or am I not? In those mincha moments of your life, where do you turn? And that's the creation of Tfilas Mincha, and that might be why, says the Pnina Mala Torah, it was answered so immediately. I just want to add another dimension to Tfilas Mincha. It's something we've spoken about in the past, actually, Pesach time. And that is, certainly it could be appreciated when one davens the three tefillos throughout the day separately. In other words, Shacharis in the morning, Mincha, a person takes a break, maybe for whatever they're doing in the afternoon, and Maariv late at night. So one might say, Shacharis and Maariv, it's a little bit easier. Shacharis, I'm just starting my day, I haven't gotten involved in other things yet. Maariv, my day is over, it's concluded, my day is finished. But Mincha is like sometimes mamish in middle of the day. There's so much going on. I'm juggling and juggling and juggling and juggling and juggling. Mincha's in the middle of everything. And you got to take a break and stop and say, Ribbono Shel'Olam, in the middle of everything, I need to stop and turn to you. That may make the timing of Mincha perhaps even more extraordinary than that of Shacharis and Maariv. Of course, all three are incredibly powerful. I'm merely pointing out the time of Mincha. As I said, Shacharis on this end, Maariv on the opposite end, but Mincha in the middle of everything. In the middle of everything, I have to stop, take a break and daven Mincha. That may bring extraordinary power to the tefillah. And that does work very well because we've mentioned many times regarding the Pesach Seder, there are three matzahs, and the Maral and others teach us that the top matzah is the matzah of Avraham, the middle matzah is the matzah of Yitzchak, and the bottom matzah is that of Yaakov Avinu. Rabbi Yisai, what do we do in the beginning of the Seder, when we're starting, before Magid, what do we do to the middle matzah, that matzah of Yitzchak? We break it. You can't say break it in half because then it says take the larger half and put it away. And my father's uncle always wondered, how do you have a larger half? So there are two pieces, but what do you do to that matzah of Yitzchak? You break it. Maybe that's symbolic of what we're saying. Obviously, that's breaking the matzah, and I'm referring to taking a break. But the point is one and the same. Yitzchak's matzah represents it becomes broken. That idea, it's not showing. It's not whole like you might feel in the morning or you might feel in the evening. It's broken. You have to take a break. And with that break, you still turn to Hashem? That gives extraordinary power to Tzilas Mincha of Yitzchak Avinu. And now I'd like to share with you one final pshat. Tonight, the upcoming yard site of my father is Atzal. Next week, Monday night, Tuesday, Be'ezus Hashem, is the yard site of Avi Meiri, Harav Avram Mordechai ben Harav Yosef. You remember him so well. I want to share with you a beautiful pshat that he brings down in Sefer Imrei Mordechai on this pasuk. We've once mentioned it, maybe even twice, but l'chvoid his upcoming yard site next week, I'd like to share it, and I know you're thinking the shiur is almost over and I didn't say the sentence. Yes, with all those who are listening in the almost sold-out Heichal, as well as those who are listening live right now and those who will hear it when Be'ezus Hashem had sent that. I must tell you, I mention this often when I travel and people come over and tell me, oh, I listen to your Parsha Insights every week. The easiest way that I know, are they real or are they a fake? I ask them, what's the one sentence that I say? And they stop me. Whether you're in the Heichal, listening live, or we'll listen to the recording, I say you're a true listener. So I want to share this beautiful pshat. I told you that Rashi says the word lasuach comes from the word sicha. Sicha means to speak, to talk. As Rashi says, here the talking was tefillah, as it says, to pour out your words in prayer. The Rashbam does not learn that way. The Rashbam learns that the Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basoda was, he planted a tree. And if you take a look, the Rashbam says he receives that because in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, when it's talking about vegetation and trees and planting, called Siach Hasoda, that's a reference to planting in the ground. So when it says over here in our Parsha, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basoda, that means he planted a tree. Now, at first glance, my father Zatzal points out so brilliantly, it looks like Rashi and the Rashbam are not saying the same thing. Rashi talks about Lasuach Basada, a form of speech, prayer. And the Rashbam is talking about the idea that it's planting seeds to go ahead and create a tree. They don't seem at all to be the same pshat. So in what I think is a fabulous and epic explanation, my father Zatzal says, delving deeper, Rashi and the Rashbam are saying the same thing. It's two sides, but of the same coin. What is the idea of planting a seed? You plant a seed, and you then cover it with dirt. Then you wonder, well, nothing grew yet, so let me come back in a week, and you bring back yourself and others, and guess what? Nothing grew. And then you come back a month, 3 months later, and guess what, Abaisai? Nothing. Sometimes it's only when you come back a year later, or maybe 5 years later, or maybe you don't come back, but the next generation comes back 20 years later, and what's there? A magnificent tree. Fabulous foliage. Luscious fruits. All from the seeds that you planted, and you wondered and wondered, and you wondered and wondered some more, is anything going to grow from my efforts and my seeds? Anything? And then number of years later, you come back and you see, now I see with the foliage and the tree and the luscious fruit, the power of those seeds. My father Zatzal says that's the same way it is with words. That's the same way it is with our power of speech. Sometimes we say something to our child or to a fellow Yid, and we wonder, did they hear me? Was it impactful at all? Did it mean anything? And not always, like the seed, do we see the immediate results. It may not be for months, sometimes years, perhaps even quite a bit of time later. But like the seeds, there will be a magnificent, beautiful tree. Like the seeds, there will be delicious fruit, those peiros, our children, our chaverim, a fellow Yid who doesn't yet know the beauty of Torah, they become our peiros, and our words like seeds, sometimes not right away. Is that not a magnificent pshat? Magnificent. So yes, 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 Rashi and the Rashbam are saying the same pshat. For words are like seeds planted into the heart and into the soil and the depths of the neshama. But sometimes you only see the effect in the payers years or even decades later. But they do take root. They do take root in the soul, in the soil, in the beauty of the neshama. And like the seeds, Be'ezus Hashem, the words bring about magnificent, magnificent payers. Certainly that's true in the area and the realm of tefillah. We daven and daven, and then we daven and daven and daven and daven some more. And as we said in our drasha this past Shabbos, we keep davening again. And sometimes we're able to see the tefillah's answered right away, and sometimes, like the seed, it could be quite some time later or a generation later. But as my father Zatzal used to say, Shatosim demaisenu b'nai kaliyais, no tefillah, no tear, no krechs or broken heart or sigh is ever, ever, ever lost. They are each and every one stored, and Be'ezus Hashem answered. I actually just want to end with the mice. I saw Pnina Malatayra bring down such a beautiful mice. I'll simply read it to you as I saw it today, wondering about the timing and the power of that tefillah planted as a seed. There was a young man, a budding Talmud Chacham. I say budding Talmud Chacham, but not. A budding Talmud Chacham, he became, he was engaged to a young woman, a wonderful Bas Yisrael, and their focus on a Torah life, hers and his, coincided beautifully with each other. It was a wonderful shidduch. Sometime shortly after the engagement, he told his Kala, I want you to know, a number of years earlier, there was a difficult period in my life. And he mentioned how he had been seriously at risk of turning his back. I'm just reading you the story as it's brought down. Why he mentioned it then and not earlier, I can't answer you. There was a very difficult period in his life. And he was thinking about turning his back on the observant lifestyle with which he was raised. And then at the age of 16, when he was literally about to leave that derech, suddenly, he says, for no apparent reason, literally when he was on the doorstep of a new way of life, for no apparent reason, he woke up one morning and he was overcome. He felt in the depths of his neshama inexplicably a desire to return to yeshiva, to return to the ways of the Torah. He did not know the source of the inspiration. He only knew that that moment, that morning, that was his sha'a. That was his sha'a. It became the turning point of his life, and he became a Meyerdik, a Masmid, studied diligently, and in his achieving greatness now became who he became and was now engaged to his Kala and shared all of this with her. She asked him, do you know exactly when that moment, that morning occurred? And he answered, yes, because it was that Shah in his life, that most extraordinary turning point in his life, he remembered exactly the year, the day, every moment when the episode happened. And he gave her the exact date and time. And when she heard, with her face lighting up, she became so emotional and she responded to her chassan. She had kept a diary from years earlier, for whatever the reason was, on different trips. And she showed him that she had entered on that exact day that he had that inexplicable inspiration. On that day, she had in her diary, she was in Eretz Yisrael and she went to the Kaisel and she davened fervently to Hashem, please, let my future husband, she was davening at that age, and actually she says she was only 13 years old at the time. Again, I'm reading the story as it happened. Amazing that a 13-year-old davens for that, but that's the way the story is brought down. Only 13 at the time, and what was her tefillah at that moment at the Kaisel davening fervently? L'suach basode, l'suach basode. Her words and tefillahs were planted. They were planted. My future husband should be a greisa greisa Talmud Chacham. That tefillah was offered on the day. That time of the tefillah, years earlier, was when he inexplicably had that inspiration that was the turning moment of his life. Nu Rabbeisai, that's Rashi and the Rashbam. every tefillah, Be'ezras Hashem, is indeed answered. Just ask that chosen and kala. May we taka be zayicha, that all of our tefillahs be answered l'tayva, all of our words bring about extraordinary payrays. Every one of our sha'is bring us golden opportunities to utilize them, to build with the offer that we're given and to turn those opportunities into eternal reward for us and all of Klal Yisrael.